Be able to hear you. Can't hear you.
That's because I was muted, and here, welcome back.
Hello.
I'm going to start again. Jeff Sachs, Reb Yeshiva, Mishkan Tzipora. We were saying, Sharon, how you could probably drink us all under the table. I made a mistake. I said we were on Membez, and we're on Nunbez. And then I was telling my life story that I was born a teenage Baal Tshuva. NCSY made me Jewish and frum. And anyway, I think I've done pretty well for myself.
We did too.
But there are certain things that if they're missing from the Girsa de Yankusa, right, if you don't learn them as a child, certain things that just get stuck in the brain. It took me a long time to, and when I got to YU, I was amazed. I thought I was brilliant. Because even though I had been in public high school, I was amazed at how much I knew relative to kids that had come from Yeshiva Day School. But I was mistaken. It's not that I was so brilliant. It's just that you don't really learn all that much in Yeshiva Day School. But there's certain things, like I knew how to read Hebrew. But the alphabetical order, which you absorb as a small school child, the same way we did in English, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zayin. Right? I knew all the letters. I could read all the letters. But to know the order, which most people, if I ask you what comes first, O or P, right? I can wake you up in the middle of the night. You all know that O comes before P in the alphabetical order. But if you don't know it, Baal Peh, if you're learning a different language, if you learn Greek or Russian or a language with a different alphabet, right? It's a hard thing to, and even if you're fluent in reading, that intuitive. So for some reason, it's not the mem. So I know that the mem comes before the nun, but that mem is arba'im and nun is chamishim. I know it completely, but there's that split second extra half a neuron that has to fire. And that's why I made that mistake just now. And as I know we're on 52B, it's right here in front of me. It says nun bet. But nevertheless, I said mem bet. Because in my head, the neuron misfired, and I said mem instead of nun. I wouldn't make that mistake with a kaf and a lamed. I wouldn't make it with a lamed and a mem, or with a nun and a samet. But for some reason, when the data was stored in the hard drive, there's something corrupt on that piece of silicon in the brain between the mem and then. Okay, anyway, lo chashuv, you don't need my whole.
When you're writing, you get his regimel and dying?
No, I don't.
I'm very hard to remember which one is which.
Because Gimel faces one way as the first.
Because if Gimel didn't push around the way the divide is, there would be no confusion. But the very fact that there is confusion means, when you write it on the Gimel, we hope the side is on.
Anyway, we're about 12 lines up on Nun Bet Omer Aleph. The first word in line is Lay. E kabai e karava, and then kisolik rabzera. Hold on, let me get the Cecil. I thought you weren't going to be here. Welcome. So kisolik rabzera. When rabzera went up to Eretz Yisrael.
Move on.
Yeah. Kisalik Rebbe Zera. No, it's not. How could it be Amra? He's a boy, not a girl.
Not Amra.
We're about 12 lines up from the bottom. The word that on the first line, 11 words from the bottom, the first word is Amra, but it's not Amra, it's Amara. Amar Ota.
Nunbet Amra.
Nunbet Amra. Right? Amara, not Amra. Amra is, she said, past tense. Amara is, who Amar Ota. He said it. What did he say? He said the halacha. What halacha? The halacha that we were just discussing. that kiddushin with gezel are not mekudeshet. If you steal something and you try to be mekudeshet, that's Rav's halacha. But Rav said, if you steal something, you go to the jewelry store, you knock off the jewelry store, and you take the ring and you say, "Hariat mekudeshet li," to some girl, it's not mekudeshet. Because it's not. Reb Zeir comes and he reports the following. He reports this halacha of Rav in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Zeira, "Mi amar Rav Hochi?" Did he really say that? So what does that imply? I don't know. It implies that disagrees. Did Rav really say that?
He's going to bring a bride.
What?
He's going to bring a bride. He's going to bring a bride.
Well, he's going to bring some kind of proof to say, but what does it mean? Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rav? As Rav says, if you Mekadesh with stolen goods, it's not Kiddushin. Rabbi Yochanan says, really? So what's the Havamina? That Rabbi Yochanan thinks Hanash was stolen?
He didn't spell it. He owes the money, but he...
But there's a problem, because Rabbi Yochanan himself says, "Va Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Gazal velo nityashu ha'ba'alim, nehem einam yecholim lahakdish." Rabbi Yochanan is halacha. If you stole something and the owners of the property have not had Yeush. Now, you know what Yeush is.
Yeah.
What's the difference between Hefker and Yeush?
That's Yeush.
That's Yeush. Despair.
Hefker is Yeush.
Well, that's what the wrestlers say, but the rest of us know that if you have a big pen and you're on the subway, and you get off the train and your pen is missing, you realize you left it on the subway, what is the immediate? You have Yeush. You know you're never going to get this back. Right? And maybe if it was an expensive something that you left behind, you'd hope, you'd hold that hope for a minute. But most of us realize we were on a tiul today. I always wear my father's horror. I always wear this Timex watch with a leather band. So in my life, it's happened that, you know, like if the band snaps and the watch slips off your wrist. At a certain point, I went to go check the time and I realized I didn't have my watch on. And I know that the band is starting to get a little frayed. I should replace it. I thought, darn it, that's what happened. The band snapped, the watch fell off my... So my wife said, maybe we should retrace our steps. So I knew that was like, look, a needle in the haystack. I'm never going to find it. And also, at that point, I was ready to go home. I didn't want to do the tiul again from the beginning to the end, looking for this watch. From the end to the beginning and back again. As soon as I realized the watch wasn't on my wrist, I had Yeush. Elama, I got home and it was right there on the desk. I never had it on in the first place. But Taka, somebody would have...
You allowed to take the watch now?
Well, because I was able to reacquire it. But that's Yeush. Once you have Yeush, you abandon hope of getting it. It's now ownerless property. Hefker is what?
Ownerless property.
Hefker is through a deliberate act. Everybody's got a lot of junk in their house. One person's junk is another person's treasure. Right? You buy new kitchen. We bought new kitchen chairs. Right? Because the kitchen chairs that we had when we moved into the house 23 years ago, they're already whatever. More than slightly warm. We get the new kitchen chairs arrive. We take the old kitchen chairs. We take them out to the dumpster. An hour later, they're gone. What? What? I mean, when I left at some point in the hour or so since I had brought them out, they were gone. Right? One person's junk is another, but I was mafkia them. Their owner, the person who took them, wasn't stealing them. He was acquiring them from himself, from no man's land. It was no
chairs. They were gone in 5 minutes.
Huh? Here in Zayat, we're a little fancier than down in Dekel. People are a little more picky. So one man's junk is another man's treasure, but that's Hefker. So Yeush, if I steal something and the owner has Yeush, so then I acquire the object. But what's the difference between Yeush and Hefker in terms of the owner's possession, the new owner's possession? I go to my neighbor's house and I see, hey, there's our kitchen chairs. Can I make a claim on him? No. But with Yeush, I can make a claim. With Yeush, I can make a claim. What claim can I make?
I didn't love to.
No. Once I had Yeush, the watch is now his. But he's always chayiv to give me the monetary value. That's a din in gezel. Right? In other words, even when the Baalim acquire the object because the owner had Yeush, or one of the other ways that a thief can acquire in a
kitchen if the old owner happens.
No. If the Ganif wants to do tshuva, who doesn't want to do tshuva? Right? He is always obligated to pay restitution, even if he's acquired the object for himself.
There's not a difference between an object that was stolen and an object that was, you had to use, like your watch. It wasn't stolen, but you misplaced it or you didn't.
No. Oh, correct. Yeush Bali. I'm sorry. Correct. We have to clarify this. If I lose something and then I have Yeush, then it is like Hefker. And whoever comes, call Dichvin.
They don't have to pay for it.
They have to pay for it. And technically, they're allowed to keep it. Although they can be Makayeh, Mashav, Zaveta if they want. But the case we're talking about is, now I'm sorry, the case that I gave of my watch today is not a good case. The case is you come and you pick my pocket. Right? I have my phone in my pocket. You come and you pick my pocket. But we were one of these Hafkanot with a million people. I'm never going to. I gave Yeush. Once I have Yeush, you now are the owner of the phone, but your financial obligation to me as a thief remains. And should you ever want to do tshuva, and we hope you will, you have to. Problem is, you might not know whose phone you stole or whose watch you stole.
Okay, the phone. When you gave up those chairs and put them in the trash can,
that's Hefker. Okay, that's totally. There's no.
Why would get the owner? So the owner doesn't know whether his watch was stolen or lost. So from the point of view of the owner, it's exactly the same. It's exactly the same as Bob would see the effect of the age. Okay, in which case, there's a certain doesn't Bob would see, but I remember there's a certain amount of time. The age, I think, finder assumes that the owner now has the chance.
Correct. No, but here the context is different. Here, Hefker is always Hefker.
Oh, I know that.
There's no moral problem of Hefker. Yeush, in a normal case, if I lose something and have Yeush, so that's tantamount to Hefker. Except what?
Well, except to the result, is my object still yours?
No, once I had Yeush, it's not mine, but the finder might want to be Mekayim Hashava Saveda. But if the finder's keepers, he can keep it. He's not a thief who steals something, who comes into possession of someone else's object through thievery. When the Baalim have Yeush, the object becomes the thief's, but the financial obligation of restitution always remains. And then after Yeush, the object becomes his for all purposes. But Rabbi Yochanan, but we said, wait a second, Rav said you can't do kiddushin with a woman with a stolen object. Rabbi Yochanan said, really? And then we said, how could Rabbi Yochanan raise an eyebrow? Even Rabbi Yochanan says the following. If you steal something to a Baalim, right? Which means whose object is it? The Baalim. Shneihem enam yecholim lahaktish. Neither of them can be makdish it. Don't get confused here, gentlemen and ladies.
Baalim also.
No, we're not talking here about kiddushin. We're talking about hektish to dedicate it to the Mikdash. Why? Why can't the thief be makdish it? Because it's not his. Why can the Baal makdish it? Because it's not in its possession. Zeh lefisha eno shalo. The thief can't do it because it doesn't own it. Zeh lefisha eno bishuto. And the owners can't do, can't be makdish it, can't dedicate it to the property of Beit HaMikdash because, I mean, that would be a perfect solution to all theft, right? You steal something from me. As you're getting in the getaway car, you're running away, I can't stop you, can I? What can I do? Gemaktishit, right? So now, I mean, the whole thing presumes the idea that people who are not careful about Gezel are going to be careful about Me'ilah, right? But the idea is I can zap you with a serious Avera beyond the Avera that you did. But no, you get something that's not in your Rishut, because how could you?
This should apply in Kiddush.
Okay, why?
Because it was the owner, the guy wants to marry, steals a nice gold ring from me or whatever, from me, whatever it is, from somebody else, wants to be marriage. As once the owner,
but that's not Rabbi Yochanan's case. Rabbi Yochanan says until there's Yeush, he can't be doing it.
But when does Yeush occur? When do you 3 days like in Bar Mitzvah? Or
presumed there 3 days?
Or presumed immediately?
Or there were a notice in the paper?
That's a separate sugya. When's there a presumption of Yeush? With different objects, it's different things. If there's a simanim on the object, or if there's no simanim on the object, right? If I drop a 20 shekel bill in the middle of a hafkanah, so the Gemara says, hold on. So hachi kamarle, mi amarav kivate, right? You read it wrong. The Gemara says you've read the Gemara wrong. When Rabbi Yochanan says, oh yeah, did Rav really say that? He wasn't disagreeing with Rav. He was saying, oh, Haka, Rav agrees with me for a change. Right? They both agree that you can't be Mekadesh with Gezel. So, Meitve. So now the Gemara... But that just is a kind of brighter. This is a Sefta here, and it's against Rav's idea. You cannot be Mekadesh with Gezel. Kidsha begezel, b'chamas uvegneva. So chamas, we know what's chamas. The terrible thing. It's like pressuring someone into, right? What does the Godfather say? The Godfather says, makes you offer you can't refuse. Either your signature is going to be on the contract or your brains are going to be on this contract. Right? So the person technically sells it, but it was not done with free will. Gezel is what? Gezel, in English, we call Gezel robbery and Geneva theft. Although I don't understand the finer distinctions between the two of them in English either, but Gezel, as Pinchas says, is, you know, stick them up, right? And Geneva is,
you're not looking so
you know, it's the guys with the mask on in the night, right? That Bob and Achter, yeah, right? They're trying not to get caught. But all of these are cases of what we'll call generic theft. Meaning you come into possession of an object illegally, and you use that object for kiddushin. Oh, the Sefer says, shechataf sela miyada v'kidsha. There's a girl and you're in the supermarket, and there's a pretty girl in front of you in the line. And she's got money in her hand. And you chop it out of her hand. And then you say, hurry up mekudeshetli with that money. And you have Adam standing around because it's a supermarket, it's crowded. So this is in both of these cases?
No, he stole it from us. He's not
In neither case, neither in the Gezel, Hamas, and Geneva, nor in this supermarket case where he chops something out of her hand and then he gives it back to her, L'shem Kiddushin, you would think neither is. But from having learned ahead in the Gemara, you know that the Tosefta says what? Mikudeshet. In these both of these cases, she's married. How could that be? So why is this a mesve?
It doesn't jive with what we
think. Because it goes against Rav, and it goes against Rabbi Yochanan. They said you can't be Mekadesh with Gezel. And here, the Tosefta says, so who should win? In a case like this, who should win? Because the Tosefta is higher than Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Rav and Rabbi Yochanan are Amoroyim, and the Tosefta is from the Tzadoyim. So Hatam Begezel Dida. So in the case, I call it the supermarket case, but that's not exactly the case in the Tosefta, but it doesn't matter. She's receiving her stolen goods back. So what could you say about that part of the Tosefta? What could you say to justify this being a legal kiddushin?
She's happy to accept the kiddushin.
She wants to marry this guy, either because she knew him from before, or because he just looks good to her. Right?
Besides his bad habit of theft. Yeah.
Or to get a ring.
Oh, she's going to get married. No,
she's willing to get married.
She's willing to get married. Well, it wasn't even a ring. It was just money. Right?
But instantly Yoweshet.
She's instantly Yoweshet on the...
Kiddushin requires her agreement.
Kiddushin requires her agreement.
If somebody stole something from her, just because he hasn't got any money, but she really wants to marry him, that's the case. Where she'll accept her.
Presumably she does, otherwise she wouldn't accept her. We're still dealing mostly with stolen goods.
No, but she might not be thinking of marriage at all. She just wants her money back.
In which case, so why is she accepted as Kiddushin?
She was a stock thief.
She didn't learn this Gemara.
Presumably she learned that unless she accepts the offer of Kiddushin, there isn't any.
Okay. So how
many... They need... Fine, I am just retroactively giving the gift of this money, whatever. And now it is yours, and you are giving it to me.
So, huh?
But if nothing like that happens on her part,
I mean, can this in the real
outside way or other, she legally transfers title to him
outside of the realm of this theoretical Gemara, and we should hope that such a case like this never actually took place. Can you think of a situation in your own lives where somebody gives you something which is yours already, and you accept it happily as a gift? You've all done this. Every one of you. No, not a tax refund. Your little kids, you have to think back. When your little kids were little, your little kids never gave you a present for your birthday. Right? Some of those are the most precious gifts. Score on your night table or something like that.
You see that it was on your credit
card. Of course it was your money when your kid goes to the store and buys you something.
I happen to be the sole wage earner in the home at the time, and she got me a gift card. You're actually giving me nothing more than my own money. I mean, you did go out and select something. But you're telling me where I'm going to spend it.
Well, you know, you could make a drusha to defend. You could, yeah, right. If she would have gone and bought you something with your own money, that at least would have had the value added of the thought of it. But if she would have given you a card with a 52 20s and a 10 in it, would have been even worse. Except the Gemara says, you know, the Gemara in Sukkah, in the context of Lulav HaGuzzel, when the Gemara says, like, you know, what difference does it make? After all, everything, Lashem Haaretz Umloa, everything belongs to Hashem. So Gemara says, no. Because what happens when the king is traveling on the highway and they come to the toll booth? The king tells his servant, take some money out of my purse and pay the toll. So the servant says, but it's like taking it out of your right pocket, putting it into your left pocket. So all you see is erachinami. But the people have to know that even the king obeys the law, right? That even the king pays the toll. So it's important that even though it's all your money, you're the king, Elliot, in this scenario, right? But nevertheless, the people have to know that the queen. Even the queen fulfills the law of giving birthday gifts. So Gemara says, so hatam begesel didaha midiketani seifa, right? O shechatav sela mishila michlal dereisha begesel. So wait a second. So if the second part we say the second part of the Tosefta, the part about him taking the money from her and giving it to her, so we say, okay, so it's some crazy case. She wanted to get married to him. So that implies that what? That the Reisha that says she's Mikudeshet with stolen goods, that it wasn't hers, and that goes against Rabbi Yochanan and Rav. That the reisha of the Tosefta, the first part of the Tosefta, that if you steal or thieve or put the gun to his head, and she's still mikudeshet, that's talking about esekeza. So perusha ka befarish. So you have to explain this Tosefta differently. And you see, by the way, why this is a Tosefta and not a Mishnah, because there's something slightly unclear about it. As a matter of fact, the Gemara just demonstrated how easily it could be misread. That's not what the Tosefta means. Perusha kamefarish, let's explain it. Kidsha begezel b'chamas u'v'geneva ketzad kigon shechatav selam yada v'kidsha. What case? It's not a reish and a seifa. Two different cases. It's one case, a case, and a demonstration of the case. What would be the case in which theft can result in kiddushin? When he steals her thing and gives it back to her, and she accepts it. If she accepts it, what does that show? She gave him the title to it. She was Yayush, and she wants to be married to him.
We took it from someone else, though. Only took it from.
Ah, correct. So what do you think the next line of the Gemara is going to be? It's easy for you. You've gone Pinter Shas twice.
I'm never going to be able to make a point or question you can say, but you knew that only.
Turn the page. Nun bet omid bet, 52b. Vaha matnitin tegezel dida. Vika'oma rav eina mikudeshet. Right. So Rav says that she's not mikudeshet, even with her own. Because Rav disagrees even in this case of the Tosefta, gezel dida. Her own stolen goods are returned to her as kesef kiddushin. Lo kasha. No, it's not a contradiction. Don't look ahead. How can you apple and orange this case? In one case, we say gezel dida, somebody steals from her and then hands it back to her. She's mikudeshet. And another case, Rav's case, we say even then she's not mikudeshet.
Maybe her response indicates whether she is miyayish.
Okay, maybe whether she indicates, well, her indicates whether she's miyayish or. What's another emotional state that she has to have?
to marry her son to
this. Yeah, that she wants to be married to this god. So what would be the next?
Well, you mean what if she doesn't want to be married? She just wants the money back. Then she's not Makadosh, maybe. In her mind, she does not want to be married, but she wants the money back. That's the only way to get it if she pretends to agree. But she doesn't.
Well, what's the point of bringing this up if she declines the offer of Kedushin? Everybody's going to say she's that there's no Kedushin.
Why?
Because she has to accept the offer.
Yeah, but in either way, she gets the money back. Right? And here's the scenario. Girl's standing there with a $100 bill in her hand. Guy comes along, grabs the $100 bill, and says to her, holding the $100 bill, Harriet Mekudeshet leave with this $100, and hands it back to her.
Right.
In one case, in the case of the Tosefta, they're married. Rav says they're not married. So obviously,
it implies that she's accepting the offer of marriage. And Rav says,
no.
It doesn't help because
no.
She can put out against take the $100 says, I'll take the $100 and I'm not being married to you.
So if she makes a declaration, so then we know what her mental state is. Right? If she says, Kedushin Shmushin, that's my money, get out of here. So everybody agrees they're not married. Right? Here she doesn't. Normally, did your wives say a lot under the chuppah?
What?
I can't say anything.
She's doing. The women have no speaking role under the chuppah in a traditional wedding.
She's doing the shopping for someone else. It's not the chaperone. There's not
many. That's the next line in the Gemara.
I didn't look.
That's what they said.
Always assume that the Gemara is about to say whatever point you right. So here she passively accepts the $100 back. In the Tosefta's case, they're married. In Rav's case, they're not married. So what's the nafkamina between the two cases? You have to say that there's some essential difference between these two cases, which is not visible to the observer at the moment it's happening.
It was the previous.
Oh, ha, lo kasha, ha de shadech, ha de lo shadech. These were not strangers in the case in which we say they're married. They already had a shidduch. Now, what do we mean by a shidduch? Yeah, in other words, a shidduch doesn't mean like, you know, your grandmother calls up and says, I know a nice girl. Shidduch in the Gemara language, in halachic language, shidduchin is tantamount to what we call today engagement. Well, in English, we call it engagement, right? Whether they had tanoim or not, I don't know. Tanoim probably was not, right? But meaning that they had an agreement, the parents had agreed, we're making a wedding, these people are getting married, right? It's the equivalent of being engaged. Now, being engaged has no halachic stat. In other words, this is why, you know, when we talk about the two stages of marriage, erusin and nisuin, which today we do at the same time, but in the days of old, there was a separation sometimes of up to a year. So it's a mistake to think of today. Colloquially, we say today, what is the word in colloquial modern Hebrew? What does erusin mean? Engagement, right? He gives her a ring. They go out to the park. Or to the husha, and you see now the kids all do this now. They spread out the blankets and they have balloons and there's a bottle of champagne and this is how people get engaged now. I don't know. And then because it has to go up on the Facebook. So that in local Hebrew today, erusin. That's not erusin. Erusin is what we do under the chuppah. But in colloquial Hebrew, it's called engagement. But the Gemara called shiduchim. Right? Meaning these people already intended to get married. They want to be married. But what? The chassan's a little anxious. Right? He sees
it. He doesn't have the money.
Maybe he doesn't have the money. Right? Oh, what's that from?
I'll
make him up. The groom is nervous. He answers twice. So don't forget, folks. That's what you get, folks. So the groom is a little anxious. He sees the kala standing there, you know, with money or with a ring or with whatever it is. And he said, oh, I have. What? Here's my opportunity. And since she wants to marry him, he wants to marry her, she wants to marry him. What is this? What do we call this? They elope. Right? They jump the gun. What? In the supermarket, wherever it is. The supermarket was my addition. It has to be someplace with it. It has to be someplace with their aid. Right? So
let's not wait. Grab some money out.
Yeah. So when she takes it back from him without saying a word, what's the presumption? She wants to get married. Right? She doesn't care that a minute ago it was her money and now it's his money, now it's her money again, now it's their money together. Right? I told you this story that when my wife and I were engaged, we were both I was hardly making any money and she was a student making no money. Right? So no money and no, not enough money together is not so much. So it was like a month or so before the wedding. And she was like really short on money. And so she asked me to borrow some money. So I said, sure. So she said, I'll pay you back. I laughed at her. I said, in a month, we're getting married. In a month, we're going to Bank of Poalim and we're making one cheshbon. Right? So she's happy to get the money. Like, what did it mean to me? Oh, she paid me back in...
Did you see? I made that deposit.
Right? So the case of the Tosefta is this was already what we call an engaged couple. So obviously it's Kiddushin. And we have reason to assume that when she takes the money back, it's... What's Rub's case?
Okay.
Some bandit shows up out of the blue. Who wants to marry a bandit? Who wants to marry somebody that just pickpocketed them? Right?
Then she's not going
to
accept it.
No, when she takes the money back, what is she doing?
Taking her money.
She's reclaiming her property. She's not just being shiduchin with this guy. She's not with kiddushin with this guy. So that's the difference between the two cases. Now the Gemara goes on to a case more similar to Pinchas. What you want to say? The third line. Hahi itita. Ahi Isha, a certain woman, Tahava Kamashia Kara Bimishikla. She was washing her feet in a tub. Rubba dub dub. She's sitting there, she's washing. Why is she washing her feet?
Dirty.
Yeah, because she was dirty. Because you didn't have showers. You know, people stank. We're watching this show now. It's a date. Something about the Old West. The name of the show is the date, the year that it takes place. 18 something. 18, some, I don't know. It's the Old West, these pioneers going west. Not a bad show, except for two problems. They had excellent orthodonture in the 19th century. You ever notice this? Every TV star... You know, they've got pearly white teeth that...
They call central casting and somebody with pearly teeth.
Right.
They can't find them.
No. So you have to suspend your imagination, assume these people all had very good... Like in reality, in the 19th century, pioneers going across the continent, you know, by the time they were 30, they had half a mouth of teeth left.
Right.
And all these people. And the other thing is they're all very clean. Like they have nothing to bathe in. They're wearing the same clothes day after day after day. But somehow they're all clean and neat.
It's like in the midbar.
Like in the midbar, right? But the clothing. But how did they keep their faces clean? The Ananei Kavod gave them a bath.
Okay,
so she's washing her feet, right? Hi, did the Hava Komashia Karab Mishich LeDemaya. She's washing her feet in a. Whatever it is, like this basin or this tub of water. Atahahu Gavra. A certain fellow comes along. Ataf Zuze Mechavre. He chaps Shnei Zuzim from someone else. How much is Shnei Zuzim? What can you buy with Shnei Zuzim? A goat. Is it Shave Pruta?
Yeah.
It's more than Shave Pruta. Veshadalo. And he tosses it to her. Maybe the point of the washing the feet is that This you may remember this from learning Gittin. The Pasuk says that when you give a get, the natan biyada, you place it in her hand. And as a matter of fact, if you've ever actually been to a get, if you've seen a get delivered, they take the get and they fold it up. And what has to be witnessed is him handing the get to the woman, and the woman puts out her hands like this to receive it, so that it's a very clear act of nitina and kabbalah, of giving and receiving. But that's only the lechatchila way to do it. As you can imagine, if you haven't learned Gittin, you can easily imagine Gemara spends on figuring out b'di'eved which kind of passage of the object from him to her counts as an act of nitina. If he throws it, but it lands in her yard, in her courtyard, in her property. So maybe here the kiddushin is the same thing, right? In other words, he chaps to zuzim from another guy. He steals money from another guy and he tosses it to her. So maybe the point is that if she, there's a woman there in a, you know, with like a basin, like a washing basin, and she's in there washing her feet, and the money goes into, it's a pretty intimate space, right? In other words, we presume that it's yours, at least when your body is in it. So maybe that's enough for her to say that she received the money. Maybe that's the point of the basin.
Wait, what was the basin?
She's in the tub, right? Washing her feet. Or she's sitting on the side of the tub washing her feet. And he steals the money and he tosses it to her. But he doesn't put it in her hand, right? Maybe it lands in the tub, but maybe the tub is enough of her reshut, enough of her domain, that it's equivalent to her receiving it.
If there weren't a basin, he just threw it at her feet. That might not.
Maybe not. Right? So, Omar La, Mikadishtli, you are betrothed to me. Meaning, like he says to her, Harayat Mikudeshtli, with this money that I just trusted. So, what do we say? Married or not? What do you say?
So he's married. Mikudesh.
You say Mikudesh? Well, it's whose money is it? It's not his money. He stole the money. Because in the case we were entertaining with what we call the supermarket case, we say if she wants to be married to him, it would work. But here, whether or not she wants to be married to him, maybe this is the love of her life. But it's not his money. This is the case of Gezel, right?
Why do we need the tub?
I don't know why we need the tub. I'll get back to the tub in a second. Maybe the tub is for the reason that I said. Right?
So you need the tub because you don't see anything that she's taking in her hand.
She's not taking it in her hand. Right? In other words, everybody agrees. If Reuven wants to marry Leah and he takes an expensive that everybody agrees is Shavu Pruta, right? And he ties it to the back of a wild horse and smacks the horse on the rump. And the horse goes riding off into the romantic sunset. And he says, Harayat Mikudeshet Li, with that ring that's riding off into the sunset, is she Mikudeshet? No. Right?
No, I understand. So you're saying the tub.
Sometimes I amaze myself at the ability to come up with a crazy case like that.
So we're saying, okay, so the tub is a bit more intimate than a horse racing body.
The tub is her domain. She's sitting in it, or at least her feet are in it. And there's no drain. It can't go down the drain.
So I think the thing that must be missing is why does the case need the
tub? Why does the case need the tub? Because the point of this case is that it's stolen money. So I'm going to come back to that in a second, but let's get through the case. So like I said, either maybe the reason is the reason I said, to teach a different halacha about, because this would be the case even if it was his money, right? Let's say they're engaged and they're married. Let's say they're mishudachim and it's his money. Does this count as a ma'asin kiddushin if he doesn't put the ring on the finger but puts it into the bathtub? Okay, so that's a set that we would say that's a separate halacha. So maybe there's two halachot coming together. But don't drown in the tub, Ben. Don't drown.
Right.
So this case, what is it? So So atahahu gavra. So that guy comes lekamei derava. So he goes to Rav and says, like, what's the story? Are we married or aren't we married? So Omar, late the chashlaha de Rabbi Shimon. No one suspects, no one cares about the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon's opinion is rejected. Which opinion of Rabbi Shimon? The Omar stam zela yeush balim ave. But Rabbi Shimon said that in every normal case of theft, there's Yayush. Because if we could say that there's Yayush, so then it belongs to him. And although he's a crazy guy, nevertheless, it's his money when he tosses it into the tub. But we don't agree with Rabbi Shimon that stam Yayush, absent evidence, Yayush balim. And therefore, they're married or not? They're not married. Now, what's so Beseda? You could have had this case without the tub. So, what's the case? What's the point of the tub?
It's just the other halacha.
Well, either my halacha that I suggested, or
no.
Or so the Ritva says. The Ritva. You might have thought that when a woman is busy doing something else, like taking a bath, it could have been a different case also. It could have been she was baking challahs, and she's got a big bowl, the mixing bowl that she's baking the dough in, right? And he throws the ring into the preparing, kneading the dough. He throws it in, and then it gets baked into the challah. Right. So okay, whatever it was, but this is the case. So you might, the Ritva says, you might have thought that when a woman is like busy doing something, like taking a bath, like grooming herself, she's not really paying attention to some crazy situation that's going on around her. So when the man says Hariat Mikudeshitli and then tosses in the ring, well, when the woman doesn't respond,
Not because she wants it.
It's because she's busy with something else. And therefore, that's why the Kiddushin isn't valid. And normally you can't say, well, the woman didn't say anything. Because women don't say anything as part of accepting the Kiddushin. The absence of her response leaves it tabula rasa. Right? We have no indicator of why she's taking in. In the first case, why she's taking the money back? Is it because she wants to be married to him, or is it because she wants her money back? But even in this case, where it's not her money, or his money, so therefore the Gemara is teaching that the only reason why the Kedushin wasn't valid is because it was stolen money. In other words, you might have thought that if a woman has reason to be distracted, that's the reason that it's not valid. No. In other words, it created a crazy situation to say that even in this crazy, if it had been his money, what would we say? Yeah, I mean, it would make for crazy wedding pictures, but it would be all over the internet, right? Like you see these, like over the internet, like these people, like where people fall down at the chuppah or at the altar, or you know, crazy things happen at weddings because people sometimes have too much to drink, right? It'd be, make for a crazy video, but taka, they would be married. Kamash malon. The problem isn't that it's a crazy bathtub wedding, right? It's because it's stolen money. It's because it's stolen.
Right, wait a minute. Are you suggesting that if the money were stolen, it's still unaware of the fact that this concept has been thrown into a potash, and that the man has said, I be Mekadosh you with this object.
She's
that
watching.
He still be Mekadosh Mekadoshet. I mean,
yeah. And that's the, that's
Mekadoshet?
Unless she objects, right? Unless she, no, that's the point that you, that's, in other words.
Yeah, but what do we not say for me? If she really is distracted, then we would assume that if she doesn't say anything, You're like, oh, great, wow, I'm finally married.
No, in other words, like, if she's, let's say she's comatose. Mm-hmm. Let's say she's drunk. And that's, by the way, that's why there's that minhag to fast on the wedding day. Right? Why do we fast on the wedding day? We say we fast on the wedding day because it's like Yom Kippur. Right? And some people have a minhag that at mincha, they say the vidui. So apparently the real reason is to make sure that people, if you're fasting, you're still, so on the day where you don't fast, you know, if you get married on Hanukkah, you don't fast. If you get married on Rosh Chodesh, you don't fast. But nevertheless, you're still, the Chatan Kala, it's still also for them to drink any alcohol. I was Masada Kedushin at a wedding of people who are not, let's say, careful about every sifkotan in the Shulchan Aruch. So I said to them, you know, some people have a minhag to fast on the wedding day. So, but it was clear to me that they weren't going to these were not going to be people fasting. So I said, but you know, you should be very careful. No liquor on the wedding day until after the chuppah. After the chuppah, people drink whatever you want. Like I get to the you know, the Masada Kedushin, you get there a little early. I get there, and there's the kala with a champagne flute in her hand. So I said, put it down. By the way, the point is that you have to go in clear headed. You have to go in.
I can suggest something, because it starts off, she's washing her feet.
Mm-hmm.
So she's sitting on a chair with a feet in a bowl, and there's at least four men around. There's the thief, there's the one he stole from, and there's two witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, this money lands at her feet, and she's got no idea where it came from. How can she answer?
No. In other words, if she doesn't hear him say, Hariat Nikudeshet, in other words, if I'm on one end of a football field and she's on the other end of a football field in her bath, and in between there's two witnesses, and the money is mine, there's no problem with Zayla, and I take the ring, I tie it to the end of an arrow, and I shoot the arrow, and I'm a very good aim, instead of killing her, it lands in the tub. Mm-hmm. And as it's in the air, I say, Hariat Nikudeshet li betabatzu shebedar ka. But she's a football field away. She can't hear me. Right? And it lands in the tub. And she says, oh, a ring. Is she Mikudeshet? Certainly not.
So can a deaf woman accept condition?
What?
Can a deaf woman accept
condition? Yes, but because there are other ways to communicate with a deaf woman.
Okay, so I have some communication.
But
my wedding.
I'm sorry, just one second. So in your case, if she's busy with the thing and she didn't hear him say, she has to be aware that he's doing a Maaseh Kiddushin.
No.
In other words, if
she's distracted, she's not aware. If she's aware, she's distracted.
So the point is, how distracted is distracted? Is if we assume that she could have heard him say it, and
she could also have said, look, this is one of these
five men. Anyway, the point is that if she doesn't know she's
not okay. The point here is that stolen money, Rav is correct. Absent the crazy cases, Rav is correct that stolen money you can't be Mekadesh with. Okay, we'll continue with this next week. Really? How'd that happen?